I am on, so the bell's rung and microphone's working, so it's time, it means it's time to start, I think. Again, if we need to turn up or anything, just don't hesitate to raise your hand, and the great people in the AV room will be able to help us with that if you need a little bit more volume or not. Everybody hear me okay? I think I can hear myself pretty good. Great to see everybody this morning. So glad you're here. You're such an encouragement. I think I said it before. One of the advantages to being in this position is to be able to see all your faces, and you're such an encouragement to me, and I know to each other, just simply by being here this morning. So thanks for being here. And of course, we all know the reason we've come together, and that is Jesus. And of course, right now with our Bible class, we're here together, of course, to learn more of God's will for us and more about Him. And with that in mind, we're concluding our 4-week study, Psalm 119. And of course, as we've learned over these 4 weeks, this could easily be a much longer study. And I would encourage you to take what we've done these 4 weeks and just build upon it. Not just Psalm 119, the chapter itself, but we've seen so many connections throughout, of course, the story, the great story, related to His Word. So continue to study, and even within the chapter, continue to do more study. We, all the verses we've looked at, the phrases, the words, the 4 weeks we've had, does not, of course, do it justice, does it? So please take our study and continue to build upon it, continue to study His Word. The longest passage in God's Word, and it's about God's Word. Before we get started, though, one announcement I definitely want to make. I think you see it in the bulletin, but next week, next elder up is Scott with the month of October. And I thought I was just looking at it. Yeah, there at the bottom of the front of your bulletin, he'll be teaching a lesson entitled, Blessed Are Your Eyes and Your Ears. So please come again next week, and of course for the month of October, for that series in this class in the auditorium. I also would like to make an announcement. We're going to try something a little different with our singing, beginning with the first Sunday of the month, not during our evening service, but before our evening service. You can see the schedule there. We want to invite all song leaders or anyone interested in song leading there to the first part of the hour, and then we'll learn a couple new songs and then just have singing. So one of the things we realized over the last year when we did the singing the first Sunday before, was people would, you know, start to kind of roll in and join us with our singing. So we thought maybe that would encourage more to come for the singing right before our evening service. So we invite everybody the first Sunday of each month, beginning with next Sunday evening, for singing. Try that a little bit different and see how that goes. But please come to that. And then, of course, this evening we have our youth-led service at 5. Please come join us for that as well. Prayer request. Of course, you can see the bulletin, but others, Jan?
He was having issues putting words together and stuff like that. A brain tumor. They done the biopsy yesterday, or the day before, sorry. And they did a CT scan yesterday, so there was no bleeding and there was no swelling, so he was supposed to be able to go home today, and then it'll be 14 days before they results back and come up with a plan,
yeah.
But he is father.
Okay.
So his wife from Carson
Sure. Now tell me again the relation of Brian to Brett. And that relation is? Cousin, yeah. Okay. And then you said you had a second, you had the other cousin?
His wife. Carson.
Oh, Brett's wife, okay. Got it, I think. Others? Yes. Okay, I'm sorry, your friend Adrian in California? Okay, that's Brent Looney's friend Adrian in California. Others? Good to have Bob Sue back with us from Scotland. Any others? Okay, let's all bow our heads together as we pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Another beautiful day of your creation, another abundant day of life in Christ that you so richly bless us with. And Father, we look forward to the hope that we have, eternal life with you. Thank you so much for raising your Son to show us that you will raise us up as well. Father, help us to continually think about that, to think about being with you. It's far better to be with Christ, but then for each day, Father, that you bless us here, help us to grow in the faith, help others to see that joy in our faith, and to live a life that others can see Christ in us. Please forgive us, Father, when we fall short of that, when we sin against you. Father, we're so weak. Help us with the strength and courage that you promise us, the power, the love, the self-control that you promise us that we have because of what you've done through your Son. Help us to rely on you and realize that we can live this life in the way that you'd have us to. Thank you so much for your Son, for the forgiveness of sins. Help us to forgive others as you forgive us. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, how we love your law. Father, help us to study it more and more and understand it more and more. Help us to encourage one another. Father, be with our brothers and sisters in need of your comfort and your strength. Father, we ask that you be with Ronnie Horton as he goes to the pediatric neurologist in St. Louis tomorrow. Be with that family and keep them safe. As they travel, be with Ronnie. Father, be with my brother Russell and sister Helen. Continue to watch over them and give them strength. Father, we ask, especially at this time, that you be with Brett Campbell as the doctors determine what to do next with his brain tumor. And Father, please watch over him, give him strength, especially give his family strength, his wife Carson and their three young children. Father, please watch over them. Father, be with Brent's friend Adrian in California. Father, be with Bob and Leona. Be with Clarence and old Jean. And our other brothers and sisters that are in need of your healing, your strength, your courage. We rejoice with Joe Baggett and doing better. Be with she and Larry. Continue, Father, to be with all of us. So richly blessed us in so many ways. Thank you for this Lord's Day. Be with us now as we study your word. And be with us as we go to our worship time. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In your son's name we pray. Amen. What we tried to do with this study of Psalm 119 is think about, of course, typically when you look at Psalm 119, the first thing that kind of I think stands out are all the words that mean God's will, mean His Word. And that's one of the first things that we did is we looked at those eight different words, and I would continue to encourage you to do just that. And one of the interesting things we're going to notice today as we look at particular prayers is how, and I think I'll be able to give you a couple of examples of how those relate to a couple of those words and the meaning. There's just so much. I think you all would agree with me is the more we study God's Word, the more we see that there is, and the more we see that we don't know yet. And that's why it's a lifelong endeavor for us to continue to study more and more, and why I'm so thankful that you're here this morning for us to do that together. So we first then looked at kind of all those different words for God's Word, and then remember we looked at... we'll go ahead and just kind of, those are there in front of you. And remember, 176 verses in this chapter. 176 verses. And it's made up of, remember, the 22 stanzas. And each stanza, each verse in that stanza begins with the Hebrew letter in succession of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. But of the 176 verses, we can see those, at least my first pass through in the English Standard Version, we can see those eight words used 171 times. So just kind of a quick review over there as you look at those. And then the next thing that we tried to do in week two was then focus on what we do with that word, and what we do not do. Okay, and then how we do it. And notice, what we try to do, and I took some liberty myself to kind of come up with words to describe those phrases and those passages. I would encourage you to think about those phrases. Remember, on just the what we do and the how we do it, 109 different words or phrases that I think you could fit into one of those categories. What we do, we value His Word. We pursue it. We study it. We act on it. And as Chase helps us see, we follow it then. And what we do not do, we do not give in. We do not neglect His Word. And we saw 109 different phrases or words that I think kind of fit into one of those. But please study for yourself and look at those more specifically as you think about that. And then how we do it. I think we found, again, I first passed through about 33 times. We do it with our whole heart. We hunger for it. We do it in humility. We do it earnestly. We do it, of course, to His glory and His praise. And we do it with compassion. As we look at the world around us, and instead of thinking in a negative way towards people and the decisions that they make, or neglecting God's Word, the compassion that we should have, as Jesus had, when we see the world in that state that's not looking at His Word, that's not paying attention to His Word, neglecting, or in a lot of cases, giving in to the devil instead of God's Word. And then week three, what we looked at last week, then we looked at God and who He is. And I think, again, I took some liberty, all these words are from Scripture, but tried to take those 80 different times that I think we could see God was being referred to or described or telling us what He has done or is doing or will do, and try to put those in those six different categories. We did that last week, remember. God's wonder and delight, the wonder and delight we see in Him and in His Word, His truth and righteousness. Remember the first two things we put on in the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And then, of course, the life that he gives us, the salvation that he's blessed us with, and then strength and courage he gives us, the understanding and wisdom, and, of course, the blessing in eternity. So that's what we did last week. So what we're going to do today as we close out our study then is think about the prayer. And, of course, you could look at this whole chapter as a prayer, but what we're going to try to do this morning is pick out the phrases, the words that are a direct prayer, a direct reaching out to God from this chapter. And I think you would see 102 of these. And of course, better get my timing device ready to go, because we're going to go through a lot today with the verses and the words that we see that are related to this prayer. So just kind of look through these just a minute before we start taking one at a time. Blessed are you. I think you're going to see, I think I have these. I think I have all of these for you. So you're going to, as you have before, you're going to do some reading on your own as we go from side to side, because I'm obviously don't have time to read all of these out loud, but I think that's worked out okay for you guys. Kind of listen to me at the same time you're reading what's on the slide. But blessed are you, and then teach me, give me understanding. When we get to that one, it's interesting just how many times the writer says, teach me. And of course, he's talking to God. Teach me. Give me understanding. And then, of course, referring to his promise. We're going to look at that one then next. And then give me life. I think those 10 times we're going to see that, 9 of those use those words exactly. Give me life. The writer says to God, give me life. And then notice these next three. I think that you guys that like numbers like I do, if you added up the next three, look on my affliction, help me, answer me, O Lord, that's about half of those 100. So when we get to those, I want us to think about that a little bit in terms, because those are kind of related, aren't they? When the writer reaches out to God and says, look what I'm going through. And affliction is not a word we too often use, but if you looked up the definition of affliction, it's pain and suffering. Those are words we definitely think about a lot, don't we? Pain and suffering, that's affliction. So the writer's just saying, look on my affliction. Then he's saying, help me. Notice that's the biggest category. How many different ways the writer is asking for help, I think. And again, I've taken some liberty. You'll see the phrases. You might think of them a little bit different way, but I think there's several that can kind of fit under that category where the writer is just simply saying, help me. Help me with a lot of different things. And then answer me, O Lord. Answer me, O Lord. How often do we, like the writer, think in our mind, is God listening to me? And we just say simply, God, answer me. And of course, we know that's part of our Christian journey. Part of God does have the answer. It may not come the way we want it or when we want it, but he definitely has it, doesn't he? And he's taking care of us. And then, of course, lead me. Finally, I've had several you'll see there at the end as we get toward the end of these, I think, kind of fit underneath that category. So to start with then, blessed are you. And again, for most of these, we've tried to, you might remember a couple of weeks ago, Ron pointing out some other passages, and that's where I'd really like to encourage you to build upon this study. And some of you, those passages have already come to your mind as we go through this. Other passages outside of Psalm 119, and you're going to see that throughout the Bible, throughout the great story that God has given us through His Son, how much of His Word, of course, relates to His Word. So always be thinking about that. So what we tried to do is giving you an example of that as we kind of begin those. Ron?
Standard version, and beginning of all, Psalm 19, 7, that he says, yeah. Your word the lamp to my feet.
Yes.
And that breaks it down. It's like it teaches me where my feet should go. It shows me the way. I mean,
exactly. And right after that, a light to my path. So not just my, just not my feet, but then where I'm going with those feet. So keep that in mind. And again, I would encourage you after, even after this week, this month, as we conclude this study, continue to study on your own as we think about God's word. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Where does that, what's the context? What's going on there? Anybody remember off the top of their head? Yeah, the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry. So think about these passages, all from Psalm 119. And I'll go ahead and read these. Like I said, I won't have time to read all these as we go through, but you will be able to. But I want to start off at least reading these. And then I want you to notice something that I think is interesting related to those words. Remember those eight different words for God's word. Think about rules for a minute. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. Remember what rules were? The decisions which God has made. And think about the praise and the honor we give him because of that aspect of his word. And then another reminder, in fact, Bill last week, we were talking, pointed out to me, he said, I think maybe the most important word in this chapter is your. Y-O-U-R, of course, referring to God. And I want you to think about that as we go through this study this morning, too. Your righteous rules, your statutes, your righteous rules, your rules, your rules. So not only rules being decisions which God made, but of course, obviously, if he made them, they are his rules. And that's why they are such a blessing. That's why they are so important that we know them and do our best, of course, with God's strength and courage to live by them. So blessed are you. Okay? And then next, teach me, give me understanding. Of course, I thought of Jesus increasing in wisdom. But think about this one as well. And on this one, I want you to think, as far as the teaching, it's interesting, I think, to note the teach me aspect, and then the give me understanding. I should have put a little divider there, but you can see between the first three bullets and the next, what, five? First three relate to teach me, the next five give me understanding. But notice the first one, teach me your statutes, that's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 verses. Teach me is in 10 verses. In fact, I think 8 of those 10 are statutes. In other words, it's teach me your statutes in 8 of those 10. Remember what statutes were? Unchangeable. The idea of engraved. Okay, so think about asking God to teach us with the idea of that aspect of his word being something that's unchangeable, that should be engraved in us. And then, of course, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Again, remember your. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. And then I think it's interesting to note, I didn't show you this, but I can tell you. On the next five bullets, give me understanding that I might live. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word of those. I think five, let's see, there's six there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because there's two of those that are give me understanding by themselves. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, of those six, five of those are different words. There's five different words. Remember the eight words again for God's word? Five different words used for those. And that interesting to think about. Give me, teach me. We're focused mostly on statutes. Teach me the things that are unchangeable, that are engraved on us. But on give me understanding, it uses 5 of the 8 words for God's word. So understanding then, of course, I think that would relate to using several different words, meaning God's word, for us to understand his word more and more. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Any comments, questions, thoughts?
Kind of like listening, help me understand.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Help me understand. Not just hear, but of course, listen. Of course, remember our study last month. See, hear, understand, and turn, and I will heal you. So, of course, we need to hear it, but we need to take it to the next step after that to then understand. And God can help us with that, of course. And this writer is saying, notice all those times there, give me understanding, teach me. And that should be our prayer as well. I would encourage us, we often struggle sometimes, I think, with what to pray. And the Psalms, of course, provide us a way to know what to say. Helps us, gives us the words to help us pray. And I think in our prayers every day, we should pray, teach me, give me understanding. I think those words are used time and time again here in this particular chapter. And I think, of course, we can see that as we look at the whole Bible. And, of course, even Jesus at a young age increased in wisdom because he was learning God's word more and more. I think we often, I know I do, struggle with the humanness of Jesus. Of course, we should think of his deity and being God's son, and being God in the Son, but he was here as a human. And I want us, as we continue to study this morning, to think about that aspect of it too, because some of the words we're going to see related to this study of Psalm 119 are words from Jesus that are very human, because he was human. He came in the flesh. So let's remember that and realize that we can truly connect with him because he went through the same thing we're going through. That's why that's one of the reasons he came here, to go through what we're going through. So yes, realize he's Lord and Savior and what that means, but he also went through what we're going through. That's why we can pray some of these same words. And of course, some of the words I'm sure has already come to your mind that Jesus spoke that related to what we're going to be looking at. And then next, your promise. I came across this phrase in 2 Peter, first part of verse 4, chapter 1. His precious and very great promises. Read through those. I'm going to read some more. I know I've got to be careful with my time because we're going to get to a place I definitely won't have time to read all the verses. Confirm to your servant look at this word, your promise, that you may be feared. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your promise. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Uphold me according to your promise, that I might live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Those are prayers we should be praying. I wondered when I came to this particular word, promise, I can't say I've prayed that very much, and I need to more and more to remind, I'm going to say it this way, but it's not going to be like it comes out, but remind God of his promises. It's not us trying to tell God, oh, God, do you remember what you promised me? It's not like that, is it? It's just to make known to God that you know his promises. And that you know he will, he has fulfilled his promises. He will always fulfill his promises. It's not us saying, you know, the writer here is not saying, oh God, you know, did you remember? Did you remember those? I mean, we may, of course, feel that way, but we know his promises. God wants us to know his promises. He wants us to know he's there and he's going to fulfill all his promises. He's fulfilled so many already. So in our prayers, let's focus on the promises that he's already fulfilled, what he's done in our lives, and the promises yet to come, and the promises to help us through this life. I think that's what we too often maybe forget, or at least I do, is he's given us so many promises just simply to help us live this life. And that, of course, will help us each and every day. Debbie?
He's talking about his promises just like taking the last one. Keep getting on staff before he was doing
it. Uh-huh.
And I was there's a promise that God has told us that he will keep our staff.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would, that's why I like that passage from Second Peter. His precious and very great promises, all those promises that he's given us to do that very thing. In that particular example, he's promised to help us in our steps. So as we pray, I think you can pray those very words. Help us with our steps according to your promise. And again, it's not a, oh God, don't forget. Not that at all, is it? Okay. It's because of who he is and what he's done. And then give me life. I think it's, and I know I keep saying I'm not going to read all the verses, but I want to read at least these two slides. Give me life. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Give me life in your ways, in your righteousness, give me life. Let your mercy come to me that I may live. In your steadfast love, give me life. And then go ahead and go to the next slide. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Are we praying those words? Give me life. And of course, go back one slide. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And then go ahead and go forward. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know as Christians, and we know, of course, with reality and this world that God has given us, we have a life here that we're living right now, and we have the eternal life to come. So let's always be praying to God to give us the life that he has planned for us. Remember the abundant life in Christ? That's the life he's given us. And because of God raising his son from the dead and that another promise that he's given us that he'll raise us the same way when Jesus comes again, give me that life as well. And notice, I like all the different words. I think almost every one of them, maybe a couple the same. But according to your word, your ways, your righteousness, your mercy, your steadfast love, I'm severely afflicted. Again, remember afflicted. I know we don't hardly ever use that word, but it's just pain and suffering. And we definitely use those words. According to your word, your justice, your promise, your rules, your steadfast love. So that's why we can ask God to give us life, because of who he is. And then look, next one, look on my affliction. This is where I'm going to just depend on you guys to read. Hope my font's big enough for you, because I'm going to run out of time if I can keep reading these, though I know you enjoy reading them as much as I do. Of course, passages in Hebrews came to mind, talking about Jesus. He learned obedience through what he suffered. I wonder sometimes if we maybe misinterpret that we think God's just making it hard for us, so we'll obey. That's not what it is at all. It's just that this life, because of sin, is going to be hard. And when we look to God for His Word and we obey Him, we're going to get through anything that life will throw at us. Because of what, again, what God has promised us and for Him to help. And of course, Jesus came and showed us that. So as you think about the word afflicted, as you read through those verses, think about pain and suffering. Because that's what affliction is. I know we can all relate to that. So I'll pause there for a moment while you make sure you read those verses. But look on my affliction. Are we praying? I'm sure we are. We may not. Sometimes we may not realize it. It may not be in our prayers, but we're definitely in our hearts and minds sometimes thinking, look on what I'm going through. Look on what I'm going through, God. Of course He sees what we're going through. So let's pray to Him to help us with that. Look what we're going through. He wants us to pray to Him. I think sometimes I wonder if we feel guilty about asking God about helping us with what we're going through. You know, we see others go through worse than what we go through sometimes, of course. I wonder if we feel guilty sometimes to ask God to look on our pain and suffering. But God wants us to do just that. He wants us to pray to Him, to look on what we're going through, and of course, to help us through that. And then the next four slides, and again, what you're going to see on this, they don't all say, help me, but I think they're all related to asking God to help me. And a lot of them are related to how people are treating us. So as you kind of, and I'll pause there just for a minute, give you time to read through each slide. Think about what the psalmist says here. He's praying to God, isn't he? The writer is praying to God. Are these some of our prayers that we're praying? I wonder sometimes if we think some of these things, but we don't actually include them in our prayers because of guilt. But God wants us to include all that we're going through in our prayers to Him, to reach out and just simply say, help me. And of course, too, that passage from Jesus, Father, forgive them. And of course, the passage in the garden, not as I will, but as you will. Those are two. It came to my mind as I think about when I think about asking God to help me and all those things. Of course, as you read through this slide, we're going to have two more here in just a minute. Going back one just a second, make sure everyone's had time to read through. But I think all those relate to just simply asking God to help me. All those things that we're dealing with people around us, with the culture around us, with what we're struggling with. Just simply reaching out, and if we remember, Thy will be done and not mine, and we really focus on forgiveness, of course, that's going to help us with all these things, isn't it? And then go ahead and go to the next slide. Let's give them just a minute to read through those. And again, I tried to just categorize. I felt like all of these and these four slides kind of fall under help me, but you might think of something else in your mind besides help me that might better describe some of these. And then the fourth one. And again, what was that? 28, I think I said earlier. Just in that category. Yeah. That you've read through now, this fourth slide. And notice too, how many times the eight words for God's will are used, and of course, your being the focus, your commandment, your law, your precepts, your command. Okay? So all those are related, of course, as we've learned through the study about God's Word. So let's continue to recognize what God's Word means as we pray these prayers. And then, next up, that's the first bell, so answer me, O Lord. There's two here. A couple of verses came to mind when I thought about answer me, O Lord. And again, we're praying, you know, that's kind of in the context of God, are you listening? Answer me. We're not getting the answer maybe we want or in the time that we want it in. But that, again, comes, God's promises come in to our thinking and to our feeling to remember He is there. And it's okay. And God wants us to simply pray to Him when we're struggling with that. And of course, we can always remember most of all Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus going through the same things we are. Of course, none of us have gone through anything like what He did on the cross. And yet He's praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the next slide, where's this one come from? Who said this? Answer me, O Lord, answer me, from 1 Kings 18. Who is that? Anybody remember? No? Elijah, yeah. Remember the priest of Baal? When they had Elijah had the sacrifice for God and they had their sacrifice for their God. And right after he prays his prayer, God showed them who God was. And of course, read through those two related to answer me, O Lord, I think. And then we're going to need to pick it up, I guess, just a notch because we're going to get the other bell. And then I've got two slides here that I kind of categorized under lead me. A song came to my mind. As faithful a follower I would be. How's the next phrase in that song go? For by his hand he leadeth me. Okay? Oh, that my ways may be steadfast. Deal bountifully with your servant. Open my eyes to wondrous things. Hide not your commandments. When I told him my ways, you answered me. Lead me in the path of your commandments. Incline my heart. And then the next slide. Turn my eyes from worthless things. May my heart be blameless in your statutes. I am yours. Save me. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Again, all these come from Psalm 119, remember. And I kind of fit them into that particular category of lead me, I think. Questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, let's finish on this next slide. I'm sure some of you have already thought of this passage as we've gone through our study. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as we think about Psalm 19, it teaches us so much about God's Word. We definitely want to close this study with who the Word was. And of course, again, Jesus came to show us who He was. And then now we have the Word to study the rest of our lives, to learn more about who He is. Remember, of course, we weren't there. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe. That's us. We have His Word to depend on and all the promises that God has given us. And we have Jesus to see, to actually see His Word. And then hopefully then to understand and turn, and He will heal us. Thanks so much for being part of our study. If you'd like a copy, I've kind of put together the notes in one handout, and I'll write your name down and get a copy to you. If you'd like a copy of this particular study, be more than happy to give that to you. Let's all get ready now then for our worship.